Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Cocktails and Spirits. This is Alphonse, also known as Fonz. With me, like always, is Eric. What's up, Eric? How are we doing today?
Oh, man, we're doing great. Great, like always. Again, excited to get this next episode going. With us today, we have Christiana Mertens, a founder and CEO of Valor. Welcome, Christiana. How are you doing?
Hi, you guys. Hi, Alfonso. Hi, Eric. It's so nice to be on here. Buenas tardes. And thank you for inviting us.
Of course. Thank you for coming on. We spent this past Saturday together, so that was great. I know it was the first time Eric and you, Christiana, met, so that was cool as well.
Oh my God, it was amazing.
We all had some delicious Valor, and not only the Blanco, but we also got to try the Reposado, which was amazing as well.
Yes, really good.
Right? We're really happy with it, too.
Yeah, we can't wait to when that comes out. But before we talk about the Repo, let's talk a little bit about Valor, a new tequila with a lot behind it. We want to know how, you know, the story began for Valor, how you got into the industry, and how, you know, basically where we are at today.
Yeah, I'd be happy to talk about it. But first, I have to say, I love both of your significant others very much. Lucy and Christina are amazing. So well done, gentlemen. Well done. Well done.
thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
They're lucky too, so don't get me wrong. It goes both ways. So it's a bit of a long story, and we've gotten better at refining the story because it's been quite a journey. But my background is I have immigrant parents. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, but my mother's from El Salvador and my dad was from Germany. On both sides of the family, we come from agriculture backgrounds. And in fact, we had agave in El Salvador. I didn't know we were cattle farmers. I knew we were cattle farmers, but I did not know that we also were agave farmers. Obviously not Blue Weber agave. We took the agave that we had and turned it into bags. And if you see on our feed on Instagram or even on our website, that's my grandmother and Enriqueta standing in our agave fields. Yeah. So it's in my blood. But my background from a work perspective is I've been working in corporate and social responsibility my entire career. And I've been working with companies like Disney and Amazon to help them with their responsibility strategies and to help people think through how can we be, you know, more responsible corporate citizens. And I started my company Do Goodery in 2019, which is what I started doing. So I started doing consulting on a bigger level. I used to work for Disney. Then I worked for a big environmental nonprofit in DC for a long time. Started my own gig, and about 2 years into running Do Goodery, and we have really big clients, like I said, like Amazon, Disney, the Getty, you name it. But my advisor, it's been an incredible journey. And one of my advisors, Tom Staggs, he's actually the former CFO of Disney, and he's been a mentor of mine since I was in my 20s, which, you know, was a while ago. So anyway, we were having
a couple years ago.
Yeah, totally. We were having drinks one night and he said, you know, Christiana, you have spent your entire career working and supporting other companies to be more responsible. Maybe it's time for you to start your own product company to demonstrate what it looks like to embed responsibility as a brand from the very beginning. Because often you will find that companies will have these big campaigns, you know, that are talking about the environment or women or whatever, but that's not how the company started, right? Often they are trying to fix reputational issues. So there are very few companies that believe in doing this work from the very beginning. And Patagonia is actually one of the few companies that I could point to that I would say has been a very responsible company from the beginning. Yeah, so anyway,
it's easy to preach, but it's a different to actually do it and follow through and stay consistent at it.
Eric, that is exactly right. That is exactly right. And yeah, I mean, I can say a lot of things, but doesn't mean they're true. So I started thinking about what could be an interesting product that I would love to be a part of, because I'm the kind of person that if I'm really motivated, like I am a workhorse, I will make magic happen. People will support these initiatives when I am so deeply, deeply, deeply committed and like love something. And so just a little backstory. My first alcohol beverage was tequila when I was in fourth grade in Cabo San Lucas. I'm not joking. my sisters, they're like, a whole generation older than I am. And my dad, we had a farm in La Paz and Baja, blah, blah, blah. And so they took me to Cabo because they thought La Paz was boring. And then I had my first sip of tequila and a margarita. And I was like, this is delicious. So me and tequila go way back. What the tequila was?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it was Cuervo because this was 1990, God, early 90s. So that was kind of, yes, I made.
Maybe it was still made decent back then, you know. So yeah.
Maybe. That's a really good question. But all I remember, it was a margarita served in like a very fancy margarita glass with a thin stem. That's all I remember.
Oh yeah,
and,
I know what
you're talking about. And little ice.
Nice. It like sounds good. Ice. Yeah.
I was supposed to only have a sip. My sisters looked away, and then I drank the whole thing, and then they looked back at me, and my face was bright red. That's kind of me in a nutshell. So my best friend and I went to, when I spoke with Tom, this was December of 2021. And then my best friend Liz and I went to Puerto Morelos for New Year's 21 to 22. And that's just south of Cancun. And when I'm in countries, like growing up in El Salvador, spending a lot of time in Mexico, you know, people always say, oh, things are so cheap. And they never really stop to wonder, why is it so cheap? And it's so cheap because the cost of labor is significantly lower than in countries like the States, Europe.
Yes.
And the minimum wage in Mexico, if people follow regulations, is $9 to $12 a day. Depending on what region you're in. And so I always overtip, and overtipping half the time is like 10 extra bucks, 20 extra bucks. Now, mind you, I'm in a position where I can do that. So, you know, but I also never put myself in positions where I can experience some kind of luxury, but at the expense of other people, right? Like I don't get manicures and pedicures, but not tip them well, because the economics of going to get a manicure and pedicure don't work. And thinking, how are these people paid and how did the shop run? And that's how I think about things, right? I always think about numbers. And so we're on the beach and at our hotel, and we met this lovely couple who had invited us on this cool tour. And it was like this 4-hour tour. It was a 4-course meal. It was an open bar. And there was 4 of us, and these guys were hustling for 4 straight hours. And I think they paid like $500 or $600 for it. And I was like, okay, I don't understand how this works. The math works. And I was like, okay, so these guys are relying solely on tipping. And so I was talking to the couple, and I said, and they had done this experience once already, and they went back because they loved it so much. And I was telling them my philosophy on tipping, and they said, oh God, we totally agree. Great. The end of the trip comes, and I ask if my bestie and I can leave the tip as a thank you. And they said, yes, of course. And I said, how much did you leave last time? And I asked them based on the conversation we just had. And she's like, 7 a person. And I was like, 70 a person? And she's like, no, 7 a person. And I was like, 7. Yeah. And I was like, $7? She's like, yeah, like they did something. So I looked at Liz. I was like, give me every GD dollar that you have right now, because I felt like we had to make up for the tour before. So we gave them like $100 each. And then I just kept thinking about supply chain and the deep inequities in it, not just in all around the world, the fashion industry, the food industry, it's really bad. It's just bad. And modern day slavery has increased by significant percentages in just the past 5 years. And it should be the opposite, right? Like, it should be the absolute fucking opposite. Sorry, listeners.
No, you're good.
It just shows your passion for it.
Okay, good. So on that trip as well, I started dabbling into learning about different tequilas. I drank a lot of tequila to the point where like I started calling myself Lady Tequila. I kept thinking to myself, I'm like, how am I not feeling shitty the next day? Like, it was amazing to me, right? Mm-hmm. And so fast forward, I get back to the States. I start thinking, going back to what I want to do. And then one morning and woke up and I was like, I'm going to do this with tequila. That just seems like something that resonates really deeply with me. And our head of finance for both Duguri and Valor, her name is Lupe, and her family and her husband's family are all from Jalisco. And she would tell me these stories about going to her husband's rancho where they have agave. And so I told her, she's like, okay, let's do this. So she introduced me to her cousin-in-law, Danny, God bless this guy. And he's like, and he's the one that owns the agave fields. He's like, you know what? Let's take you down there. Let's introduce you to some people. And then that's just kind of how it all started. That was a long ass story. Sorry.
No, that's good. That's awesome. That's great to hear, you know, from the beginning, exactly how it went down. And then how much did you know about tequila at that time? How much, like, cause I'm curious, you know, how you ended up, cause Atanasio is fairly new and there's such a small distillery as well. And a pretty crafty small tequila that's limited in certain states. So I would like to know, like, how much did you know about tequila at the time? And how did you end up at NOM 1599 with Atanasio?
I love that question, Alfonso. It's a great question. I knew as much about tequila as I knew about the things that I like to drink, right? Like, I knew where tequila came from. But that's about it. I didn't really even know about the regions and truly limited knowledge, because up until then, it's kind of like, I love champagne, like, honestly, you know, and I would drink tequila here and there, but it was never, you know, like the go-to, because usually I didn't like a lot of the tequilas neat, because I love drinking bourbon. Like, there's certain things I love to drink neat, but all the tequilas I was drinking neat, I was like, this is gross. It tastes like glycerin. and it just like, I hated the sticky feeling it left on my mouth, but I loved margaritas with the right tequila. So anyway, so I can say that I was like some amazing aficionado before then. So how it came to be is that when I started learning about additive free tequila, that's when I started falling in love. And so when I went down, we did multiple tours of different distilleries, and by some real luck, the guy that we were working with that was introducing us to different distilleries knew Rene. And we went to the distillery and I sat there. This is the first time too, just visiting. We weren't even there like on official business. We were just coming as visitors to really get a grasp of, you know, the different areas and different distillers. And I was like, there was something about the energy. Eric, have you been there yet? Eric, you've been there, right?
Oh, yes. And I know exactly what you're talking about, because that was my first impression of meeting Rene there. Just the passion in his voice and explaining it. Like, you feel the love for what he does.
Yes. And the whole space. Insane. It is an energy. It's just beautiful, you know?
Yes.
And I remember sitting there, and they are really selective on who they produce for, like really selective. And you know, I was sitting there and I was like, I need to be here. This is where we got to be. But you know, so I was like, okay, be cool, CM, be cool. And so then the next, so we finished that trip, and then the next trip was, okay, let's lock in our distillery partner. And so we went to a few more, but we then arranged a formal meeting with Rene and team. And when I got there, Shasid was there, and he's like, listen, I've invited my daughter to come to this because it's really important for her to see women in leadership positions, especially in this industry. So I want her to be a part of this meeting from the very beginning. And I was like, you're a cool fucking dad. You're a cool fucking daughter. I want to work with you guys. Let's do this, you know? So it was just really serendipitous. And more importantly, Herman, Alonso, Jorge, all the guys and women that are there, care deeply about, you know, acting as a responsible company as well. So yes. It was like, I swear it was synchronistic.
That's awesome. And they do have a great team. You know, we've been down there with Shasid and Rene and Alonso, and we've had a great time. So I could see why, you know, right off the bat, you guys, you know, it clicked and there was no doubt in who you wanted to work with.
Totally. And Alfonso, we were down there at the same time, right?
I think we missed you.
Each other by a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a day or two, I think it was.
No, but I actually think we were at the hotel because they told me about you. Yeah. So I was outside working on my computer, and I think they said, oh, our tour is coming back, and it was you guys. And so I didn't want to be like, hi, I'm Christiana. I'm the new brand. So I didn't bother you guys, but I'm pretty sure we actually stayed at Casa Sayas at the same time.
That's hilarious. That's funny. But yeah, we were there a couple of days, and I remember they kind of, without saying much details, they kind of told us there's a new brand coming, and that's how we heard of you. We heard of you. What, Eric? Do you remember the dates we were there? I think it was.
Let me check.
I think it was January 29th.
Yeah, it was January.
Like, it was a Sunday. Right before my birthday. Sunday, January 29th. We went to Atanasio.
Do you want to hear a crazy story about January 29th?
I would love to.
I mean, I hope, I'm pretty sure this is the date, but when we decided to, when I made the decision to do Valor, or do a tequila company, it was January 29th of 2021. And our first harvest was January 29th of 2023. Sorry. Oh my God. Sorry. I'm totally off. Had the idea January 29th, 2022. And then our first harvest was the 29th of January, 2023. So it was like so crazy. Even that was so kismet.
Wow. That's great. That's awesome. That's cool. Now, what was that year like? You know, you decided to do it. And then now did you already have a name? Did you already have an idea? Did you already have of exactly what you wanted Valor to be? Or what was that like with your team? How did you guys end up to, you know, do what you are? And if you want to talk a little bit about, you know, the what you have worked on with the Universidad and the groups down there, or what it was like for you to go talk to the jornaleros and, you know, the rest of the supply chain, which I'm sure you'll get into right now.
Yeah, definitely. So no, we did not have a name. Gente Buena actually was a name that we were working with at first, uh-huh. because, you know, it's like good people for good people by good people. But then we realized, like in the States and other non-speaking Spanish or Spanish speaking countries, we didn't want people to be like, can I have gente, you know? So we really wanted, you know, to be conscious of that and make it as something that everybody could say. And so how we landed on Valor was a really beautiful brainstorm with the team. And that wasn't until June of 22 when we came up with the name. But, you know, this last year getting to the market was really intense. It was fast. It was really, it was very thoughtful. And it was also incredibly like the universe was just working in our favor on so many levels, you know, like, I don't know about you guys, but if something is not working, whether it's a relationship or, you know, a job or whatever, we're like, just like roadblocks. Like I usually pivot and go somewhere else, right? Like this shit isn't working. So don't get me wrong. It was hard. And I mean, I run two companies and I don't sleep right now and I don't have a personal life, but it's worth it because so many of the right things came together, including all of our partnerships with the social impact work. Because for us, the most important thing of thinking about how to create prosperity throughout our supply chain was that what we do and how we invest in the community has to be informed by the community we're serving, not by us. And often, you know, people, philanthropists, whatever, will come in and like come in as, you know, the savior and this and that. And to me, that is such bullshit, right? I don't know what people need. People know what people need. And so Terrell Santos, who you've probably seen in some of our content, he's from Puerto Rico, and he works for a really big community and environmental organization on the island in the Caribbean. And I've known him for 10 years. We've done work together in the environmental education space and the world that I come from. So I called him. I was like, Terrell, I need you. And he's like, you're insane, Christiana, but I'm here for it. Let's do this. And so, you know, he has spent so much time doing community listening sessions, embedding himself in communities, especially Latino communities, that, you know, really putting him in charge of this and having him start talking to people, whether they're jornaleros, quemadores, people at the distilleria in the community, and just listening. And so we have hours and hours and hours of content, you know, just like audio, just really understanding where are the biggest gaps and where are the biggest opportunities. And so, you know, we're really good at doing this stuff here at the States, but, you know, Mexico is not our place. And we want to be sure to work with people who know Mexico, who understand Mexico, who are Mexican, right? Like, and so Renee introduced us to this guy. It's always like, it's always the I got introduced to a guy who introduced me to a guy who introduced
that's
me
how
to
it has
woman.
To be. Like, that's why you gotta gotta meet people and get that's another topic, you know, but that's how it works.
He is everywhere in this world. Everywhere. Relationships are everything. That's what I'm always like. Be nice to people, everyone. It's amazing how much further you'll go when you're kind. You know? So we built this really beautiful partnership with the University of Guadalajara and the Colegio de Michoacán. And they're very much focused on the work we're doing with the supply chain aspect of this. So what we're doing is creating a model where we're going to be working with a specific group of men and women who produce for Valor. Because often, I don't know, I'm sure you guys know this, but very rarely are these guys employed. They're usually just day laborers or hired for the season. So there's a lot of volatility. Season, yeah. And there's tons of volatility in their income. And because of that, a lot of these people don't stay in the industry because everyone needs sustainable income and they need to feed their families, so they won't go into the drug trade. They will find other ways to make money so that they can take care of their families. Who wouldn't? And so what we are doing is creating a model. And let me just be very clear. This is going to take years and years and years to actually create systemic change. But, you know, we have to start somewhere. And so what we're doing.
And somebody has to start it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, 100%. And it sucks that it hasn't been started already. But I'm like, you know what? If that is an opportunity for us, let's do it. You know, at least let's give it our best shot.
That's great.
And so we had our first big sort of partners meeting last week. And now we're going to be recruiting people to become part of this. We're going to be leasing our own land and start growing our own agave so that even if they're not harvesting for a bottle or for a brand, they'll still be able to tend to agave, learn from, you know, sort of more professional, more aged jornaleros. So we're creating a model where there is, there's training opportunities, people have work, people have things to do, right? Because everybody at the end of the day, I believe if you wake up having a sense of purpose, that completely changes our perspective on life too.
For sure.
And if you're waking up every day and not knowing how you're going to get paid, I can't think of a scarier place to be. So so that is one of the big things we're working on, is truly creating it's a cohort basically of people that will be part of the Valor family from the very beginning, and then growing our own agave, and then also creating opportunities for education, professional development, but also English classes, right? We're looking at how to create a comprehensive model where everybody benefits and that people can make, like, they can choose their own destiny, you know? And it's just lack of access is really what keeps the world down, is when you don't have access to opportunity. Like, I had access to opportunity, right? Like, and so I think when you create opportunity, people, this is whole idea that people just get to choose how they want to live their lives. And, you know, as a brand, it's our responsibility to give people access, because we have access. Why shouldn't they?
Yeah.
So that's the work we're doing with the universities. And then separately, we are working with a big nonprofit called Pronatura, based out of Mexico City. And we're working on a water infrastructure project for San Pedro de los Landeros, which is where the distillery sits. And it's a community of about 200 people. And they don't have sustainable access to fresh water. Water is delivered to the community sort of whenever, you know, they don't know when the water is coming. So women often have to stay up until 2-3 in the morning so they can do laundry, they can cook, they can do whatever they can. Yeah. And this is, you know, that's just one example of what's happening all across tequila. You know, it's not just there, it's everywhere. And, you know, so we're working on that right now. And it's going to be, again, slow building, but the boots are on the ground and the work has gotten started.
Yeah, laying down the foundation right now to, you know, to get where you want to be, like you said, in a couple of years. But that's awesome that you guys are leasing your own land to grow agaves, because that was one of the questions I remember when we had I'm fortunate enough to be part of the team. So when we had that first meeting, it was like, well, how are we working with the jornaleros? What are they doing? Are they going to be employees of the company? Are they going to be the same group coming back and forth? But now that's awesome that you guys are planning on planting your own agaves, because that will give them work to do, as opposed to, like you said, not knowing if they're going to get paid that specific day.
Yes, absolutely. Work and purpose and networking too. You know, that's the other thing. It's like when you work with teams, that's other things that start to open up as well for us as human beings.
Yeah, and I think right now there is a perfect time for it because it looks like everybody's are having some sort of awareness as to, you know, how to be more sustainable in the industry to keep, you know, tequila alive. So yeah. If anything, you're setting somewhat of a blueprint to what it is and what it takes to become that.
Yeah, and that's the whole purpose here is if we can create a model that is replicable, we want to be able to help other brands do the same thing. And, you know, just like anything, when you model something, it's a lot easier to follow. And I get so frustrated with like the celebrity tequilas in particular, because it's like, first of all, and second of all, it is either people like, I would be so for it if they were like, we don't need to make money on it. We're just going to use our brand presence to bring visibility to these issues. I would be like, let's do this together, you know, but like, it's just more money in their pocket. And the hardest thing about this industry is, and it's again, like I'll use the fashion industry as an example that goes through the same thing where all this money comes to the States and doesn't sit with it's not reinvested back into the community. And it's like wealthy people just get wealthier and wealthier. And it's again, the wealth gap is ridiculous. There's just so many things that shouldn't be happening right now in this world. And I know what we're doing. It's just like a tiny drop in the bigger picture. But I feel like everyone says, well, what I do doesn't matter. What I do doesn't matter. And it does matter. That's the thing. Each of us as individuals, our actions matter. Can you imagine collectively? Yes. If we were all more, you know, conscious about things, the world would look so different.
Yeah, just like, you know, it is true. We just have to do our part and try to align ourselves with people that are doing their part as well. And in this case, there's companies for everything. Like this case, this would be the first tequila that sees that as the main vision for the company. And, you know, as us as enthusiasts and drinkers of tequila, we should align ourselves with companies like that and everything else that that we support as well.
I hope so. I really, like as my mother would say, from your mouth to God's ears, Alfonso. Because the thing is that everybody said, oh, you're starting a tequila company. Okay, you and everybody else. I said, I'm not starting a tequila company just to say I'm starting a tequila company. I'm starting a tequila company with the entire intention to try to disrupt an industry, you know, and that is what's separating us. And the most important thing too, is that we want our consumers, we want our community to feel like they're part of this. You know, we're starting a foundation because some people don't want to drink tequila, but they want to support this initiative. So we are starting a foundation and we're working on it right now so that if someone wants to donate $10 to this, they can, right? And this is all going to be going towards this notion of systemic change because it's going to cost millions of dollars to do this because of a system, you know, that is, you know, pretty far gone. It's a significant investment over the years and it's going to take years and years and years, but we're here for it. We are here for it for the long run. We just need to make sure people buy lots of our products to make it happen.
And I think that's going to be easy to kind of jump on board just because of how much awareness you guys are bringing into not only the brand, but to the industry itself. So I think it's going to be a easy way or easy access for people that just read more into the brand that information is there for them.
Yeah. And listen, you guys, we're so grateful to people like the two of you and to the greater community who had like Crystal, you know, Mide, who've been giving us these opportunities to talk about the brand because we don't have millions of dollars in marketing. Like this is a self-funded project along with a few friends and family investors that came in. But, you know, we had celebrities approach us last year about this and we were like, nope. Way, you know, so we didn't want big money coming in because usually big money just wants to make more big money, right? And that's not who we are. So yes, and this is like a grassroots movement. This is a grassroots movement, and you know, we want people to fall in love with it because they're in love with it, not just because Marky Mark says it's cool.
Now, what are the things? Some of the things you guys have heard from, if you've heard from other brands or other people in the industry, other, you know, owners of distilleries, owners of brands, what are some of the things you guys have heard? And obviously you don't have to name anyone.
That's a fabulous question. And first I have to say,
Atanasio has been so supportive of this because their values, as I shared earlier, they just align so deeply with ours and with this sort of vision for a more sustainable and equitable future. And so they really have brought and lent us so much of their expertise, not only as incredible tequila makers, but in the industry and, you know, helping us understand the landscape that we're brand new to. And whereas our team comes with decades of experience around social impact and sustainability. And, you know, so it's just this really lovely partnership. And I'm really grateful to them for, you know, working along with us, you know, hand in hand towards this really sort of big vision. And another person who has just been incredible is Gina Castillo from Tequileño. First of all, she is amazing and I adore her. And she's just an incredible, incredible, incredible human being. But she's been so generous with opening up her network for us. She's been such an advocate of mine. And, you know, I mean, she works at, you know, a major brand. And the fact that she's just been so kind and as a friend and as a mentor and just very grateful to her. And then, you know, I think she really understands what we're trying to do too. So it's just nice to hear that from someone who has such deep experience in the tequila industry. And then on the flip side, you know, I've had some big brands kind of do the proverbial pat me on the head and good for you, sweetie. It's never going to happen because that's just the way things are. And I'm like, huh, that's just the way things are because that's how you want to keep them. And so when I hear words like that, that's definitely a motivating factor for me to show people that things can be different. And this idea that everybody can prosper in various industries. And again, it's not just tequila that, you know, where there's deep inequities. There's so many around the world. And, you know, so like really excited to for lack of a better word, demonstrate that it is possible. Change is possible. So, you know, we'll see. So I do think that there's just a lot of skepticism too, because like you said in the very beginning, Eric, you know, people can talk and talk and talk, but they don't actually put their money where their mouth is. And that for us is the complete opposite. So I think for us to be taken seriously, we just have to continue to do the work.
Yes.
And produce great juice. That was the other thing too. Like we couldn't produce a shitty tequila and do this work. It had like both have to be exceptional.
Well, yeah, as long as you're there at Atanasio's, I mean, there's no way that you can't get something that's going to be that delicious. I mean, they really do take the time to master what they're doing there, and it shows when you go visit them. You know, everything they do and everything that's put into making that delicious juice.
Oh my God, the love that goes into this, the love and attention. You're absolutely right, Eric. I've never seen anything like it. And like, I think about people who succeed in life, that is what they do, right? Like they deeply care about what they're doing and that goes a long way.
Yeah. And now let's talk a little about the tequila. The tequila is great. I remember when I finally got to try it, I was really, you know, really impressed because it's really good. It's pretty.
Yes.
The great thing is that and I know who the gentleman was, but this past event that we did, one thing he said, his name is Roger. He's a great guy on, you know, I've met him and interacted with him at these events. And he said, you pick up the slight nose of, you know, the DNA of Atanasio, but it tastes completely different than what it is. And they have their own flavor profile. And then you have Valor's flavor profile. And it's very unique. I like it. You know, you guys left it at 42%, just a bit above the 40, which is great. And one of my favorite things about it is the peppery finish. I love the finish. I love the peppery and the spice. And it's just very enjoyable, very fresh, earthy. And it's just amazing. I like it.
You have no idea how much that means to me, you guys. I know both of you obviously like are experts in this industry. Hey,
but thank
listen,
you.
Okay. I am here. Like I'm going to tell you that over and over and over again. You just got to own it, guys. You just got to own it. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. And, you know, we wanted to produce a product that it was something that anybody could enjoy because I'm sure you guys hear often like, oh, tequila, oh, bad college experience, oh, you know, and so we wanted to create a product that was more approachable. And I have to tell you, we've converted so many people to sipping tequila, actually both by trying Atanasio first, because we didn't have any juice last year when we were starting to get this off the ground. So I used Atanasio as our sort of jumping off point. And then Valor with our 42%. And of course, the agave that was sourced was 100% for us. You know, so there are some different things in there. But the reality is, I love 1599's DNA. It is my favorite. It is absolutely my favorite. And I don't say that because I'm biased. Like, I tried Calle 23 for the first time when I was there last week, and I'm in love with that. And Casca Wynn. Those are like my top three. Like, I live and breathe for it. Casca Wynn is my other top, and then Calle 23 is now my top. So I love the fresh, like, fresh, clean taste. That's my jam.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, you know, the reason I feel the reason why it's really very well accepted is because all the notes, all those flavors are well balanced in the tequila. And that's something that kind of makes it easier, or makes it easier for anybody that's trying it for the first time to really get those flavors and those notes from it.
Yeah. Have you guys had it in a cocktail yet?
I have, yeah.
I have not.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's a little too good.
I've been messing around with a couple of cocktails to try to present at some places to carry. So I do have some good recipes.
Well, get ready, Alfonso, because we're going to get you on camera doing that.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm ready for that. Wait, now I got to run a little more. You got to give me a month in the head because I got to run a little more.
Yeah. No. My gosh, you are great. Like always,
I'm one of the guinea pigs. So
yeah,
I love this team. This is amazing.
No, it's
but I'm
awesome.
Glad you guys like it. I'm really glad you do.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's great. I feel like the feedback has been great as well. And now the Reposado is set to come out. What do we know? We a few of us, I want to say, like, what was it, like 60, 70, 80 of us got to try it this past Saturday at the LA Tequila Club event. And it was great. It was very, very enjoyable. You know, there's always going to be a preference, but I did hear a lot that people really enjoy the Reposado as their favorite from the two tastings, from the Blanco to the Reposo. That's pretty exciting to hear that, you know, it's well received. When is that set to come out? Or what do you know? I know, as we know, when it arrives and all that takes time, but when are you guys expecting that?
So if all goes well, we are bottling starting this week. The bottles are there. The labels are there. Everything's there. We're just waiting on just some final stuff with the CRT. I'm so impressed by like the professionalism of the CRT, which I appreciate. Like, I appreciate it, you know, very much that it, you know, it keeps us legit. So if that happens, the idea is that our product is here before the LA Tequila Festival.
Well, that's so fast.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to happen. I hope it does. If not, I might have to fly down and bring up a case myself just for the festival. But, you know, that's what we're aiming for. That is what we're aiming for. And yeah, I'm the Reposado, I have to tell you. And everybody, we did a tasting down there last week with some people that were in town from other parts of Mexico. And Renee is happy with it. And, you know, Renee is like, and Erman, I don't know if you guys know Erman, but they're the director of operations. Mm-hmm. Yes. And he is like no BS kind of guy. And, you know, it's everyone's really pleased with it. And so I feel like it's definitely going to be another shining star for our portfolio.
That's great to hear. And it's super exciting because it is, what do we know about the, what's the color going to be? Is it still going to be green? Can you say that? Or is it going to be a little bit of change?
Oh, you're trying to get some insider secrets here, aren't you?
A little bit.
I'll tell you this much. It will not be green. It won't be green.
I wonder what.
It's going to be pink. No, I'm just kidding. Totally get it.
No,
but it's really beautiful. And, you know, we actually haven't decided on a color for Añejo yet. So that's coming out. Who knows? Maybe we'll ask the community and the community can decide on what our Añejo color will be.
That'd be cool.
I have a question. And I think most of us that really enjoy tequila probably want to know as well. I mean, and you're so close to it already. But is there any chance of a still strength coming out?
Ooh, we talked about that. Yes, there 100% is, because I'll tell you why. When we did a still strength tasting earlier this year alongside the tasting for the 42%, it's so good. So yes, definitely, probably a 2024 thing. But yes, it is on our radar for sure.
That's awesome. That's good. That's great to hear. And it's So you guys will be at LA Tequila Fest. We will be. So that's great.
Yeah, I was like, excuse me.
Yeah, I know. Usually I don't speak about me in that sense when we're interviewing people. So, but in this case, I am part of the team. So that's awesome.
You 100% are. And Eric, I feel like you and Christina are basically part of the team. So we're just going to call it the collective we on this call.
Oh,
yes.
Well, sounds great. You know, I'll be there for sure then.
Oh, I know. No hesitation. I can't wait. It's going to be, yes, it's going to be super fun. And we're going to be, I'm going to give a plug, Steve. Well, first of all, Athanasio and us, 1599, will be represented in one big booth. We're sharing two booths together. So we're going to be together. Right. And then I'm going to give a plug to Steve from El Legado. He'll be just down the way from us. So it's going to be a really fun section.
Steve is great. Him and I have talked a little more over the last couple of months, and Steve is awesome. So I'm excited to meet him for the first time.
He's great. And he's also born and raised Angeleno. He's one of us.
Is he really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And they have great, amazing tequila as well. El Legado coming from Cascawin. Like you said, we love Cascawin. So
yes, and he grows his own agave in Michoacán.
Oh, that's right. I think I did remember hearing that, but it wasn't off the top of my head. But I think I've heard that before as well.
And Chasid is going to be the representative for Athanasio this year. Renee is going to be, they're going to be dividing and conquering. So Chasid will be the brand ambassador for LATF.
Oh, nice. So Renee's not coming this.
No, he's going to be at Monterrey. Oh my God. It's not Mexico, Christiana, Monterrey. he'll be at Crystal's event in Monterrey in October. So they're
splitting.
Yes. Someone's got to mind the shop. But yes. And Chasid is actually staying with me. And Renee's like, that's my baby. I said, listen, Renee, I know this. I am terrified enough as it is. Yes, 100%. I'm like, okay, here goes. I've never been a mom before, but I feel like I'm going to go into mom mode.
That's great. So the plan is LA Tequila Fest, and then you will be at the Tequila People. We will be at the Tequila People in Monterey. And what else is in the plans for the rest of the year?
Well, I would say what's exciting is we're actually working on a holiday promotion with our Blanco and Repo. So I'm really excited about that. You guys don't even know about it because quite literally we talked about it today in a meeting right before. That's why I was running late as we were looking at our holiday strategy. So we have some fun promotions coming up.
Yeah.
What's that?
So we love these exclusives.
Yeah. Yes. So that we're really excited about. And then in terms of events, you know, we're doing some stuff in the Inland Empire with Leti and some festivals happening there. We're doing the Mariachi Festival. And we're also doing the LGBTQ Festival in IE. And then actually the day after the LA Tequila Fest, we're doing the USA versus Mexico soccer game in Ontario as well at the Toyota Arena.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember hearing about this, I think. Is it for LAFC?
No. The Strikers.
But it's with Jonathan, right?
Yes. Oh, Jonathan. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah, he was telling Jeremy and I, and it looks like it got done because I remember the last Zoom meeting we had, he mentioned it, and it sounded like a cool event.
Yeah. And you'll be welcome to come if you want to work it, but we're all going to be exhausted. And then we're going to look at some other cool events and some dinner pairings and, you know, just finding the right partners for us that, you know, believe in what we're trying to do and just aligning ourselves with people that are down for the cause.
That's great. That's great. Because that also gives them the opportunity to, you know, not only support you, but to also share with everybody else that, you know, that's in their you know, network.
Yes, absolutely. We just want to get to a place where people sit at a bar and they see a bottle of Valor up on the top shelf and go, I would like some of that, please.
Nice. That's the goal. And now, speaking of goals, like what ideally or in my, I'm sure you have some amazing goals because, you know, I've gotten to know you and I know the goals are really, really high. But what are the thoughts like in a year or two? Because as we know, it's going to take, you know, quite a while to hopefully make a dent in the what the industry is with what the cause is. But in a year or two, what's kind of the goal for Valor? for you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, by, you know, mid-2024, from an impact perspective, we're hoping to have this water infrastructure partnership and work, you know, at least 70% deployed by next summer. You know, not fully, because it's going to take time, because it's a complicated, like the geography and the infrastructure is complicated. So it's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take a lot of government relations, right? It's going to take a ton of work. But that, for us, is a big priority, is having some real measurable outcomes for that work by next summer. Same with the work with the Jornaleros and the Jimadores, is that we, you know, we have identified, you know, the group that's going to be with us. We've gotten the land. We're starting the plant. You know, I think summer of 2024 is our big sort of, like, we're looking at that as the next major, major milestone. And we'll be doing storytelling throughout the course of this. Like, we're going to keep people updated. You know, we are going to do newsletters. We're going to do video content, just so that, you know, our community sees that steps are happening. But again, I can't say this enough. Like, it is going to be slow, 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 slow. But the thing is that if we want this to be long-term and lasting, it has to be slow and methodical and thoughtful. So that's sort of that on the impact front. And then with the tequila itself, you know, right now we're in California. We're just about to expand to New Jersey, which is so exciting. You know, we'd love to be in a handful more states in 2024. And then I know I'm poor. So Eric, you don't know this, but Alfonso has been stuck with me for a while. And I'm like, I want to take over the world.
Well, like, fortunately I did too. So it's two of us.
Why do you think you're part of the team?
Great minds think alike.
Exactly.
And then we'll have to battle it out for power. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God. Happy to share the power, Alfonso. Happy to share.
No, I'm just kidding.
And really, who's going to be in control is Zunzunito, our bird. That's going to be the hummingbird is going to have all the power.
Oh yeah! Speaking of the hummingbird, how did you guys decide or come across that that as your logo?
Yeah. So, like, not to bring the conversation down, because it's been a long time, so I can talk about this. You know, with sort of love and admiration for the beauty behind this. But in 2018, yes, my father died unexpectedly of a blood clot. So because it was so unexpected, you know, he still had an engineering company. He still, like, we had a date farm in Palm Springs. Like, he had a very big life. And I was overseas at the time when he died. And he was actually in El Salvador when he died. He's the one from Germany, but he loved El Salvador much. Like, he opened up a Mexican restaurant in my mom's childhood home. I'm not even joking. This is great. A true story.
That's awesome.
So anyway, so I flew home immediately. My mom flew down to El Salvador to go get him. And so I was standing in the backyard of my mom's house and just talking to his business partners and just trying to get everything organized around his life. And there was a hummingbird, and it was December. And I was like, why is there a hummingbird, like, hanging out in December? And I was like, my thought was, hi, Pop. You know, I just sort of, I was like, that's my dad. That's my dad reincarnate, and that he's a hummingbird. So that was actually the inspiration behind the hummingbird for the logo. And then our creative director, Nick, who is Jeremy's husband, who he met on Saturday, he worked with a really beautiful, amazing artist in Mexico, this female artist. And the thing that's coming out of Zunzun's tail is the Mexican indigenous symbol for balance and equity. And since we're trying to create balance and equity throughout the supply chain, that's how those two came connected. And then last, I need Nick here. He tells this so much more beautifully, by the way. I'm not meant to be telling the story like he does. But when you see a hummingbird, it's a signal that someone is thinking of you and someone loves you. And then it's our responsibility to share sort of that love. So that's the whole thing. Hummingbird, sharing the love, equity, you know, so it's all coming full circle, basically. Sorry. That was the longest explanation ever.
And if I'm not mistaken, also hummingbird is part of, you know, tequila and that it.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. Yes. Kyokas, yes. Eric. Thank you.
Which is like,
yes,
like you said earlier, it all kind of just falls into line. Into, yes, what you guys are doing, which is amazing.
Yes, they're pollinators. That's exactly right. That is exactly right. And thank you for reminding me of that. See, this is why I shouldn't tell the story. but yeah, so they are, and they're just magical little bees too.
Yeah, they're great. And it looks great on the bottle as well. I mean, it's yes. a very, very nice, you know, big, you know, logo in the sense I can't find a better word, but it's a logo. It looks great. And it's awesome. Now, I do have one question for you. What would you say to those who are hesitating on, you know, going out to buy one, even though the reviews are great on the tequila, whatever they think of it? Because I do know some people that are hesitant to go and buying. Like, how can you tell them, hey, be part of what we're doing? Like, apart from the great juice, it's amazing. Now, you know, hop on board. And like we said earlier, you know, put your money where your mouth is, because we need them all to be part of the part of the process to make it better for all those in the supply chain.
So let me be very clear that we understand this is an expensive product and it is not lost on us at all. And part of what we hope people can understand that when they're purchasing a bottle of Valor, first, they are getting an exceptional product of the highest caliber and highest quality, additive-free, incredibly gorgeously 6 to 7 year old agave. And, you know, we're really looking at the re-education of how tequila should be properly consumed, sipped, and savored and enjoyed after all of these years of hard work to get that juice into a bottle. You know, this last year and a half, we have spent a ton of time doing listening sessions with the community, with the jornaleros, with people at the distillery, with people of San Pedro de los Landeros, to really understand where are the greatest opportunities that we can really invest in to create this notion of a prosperous supply chain. And one common thing that we hear from people is it's really hard for them to work this hard to bring this beautiful tequila into the bottle and watch people come down and just shoot it without any idea that there's so much work that goes into creating just one bottle of tequila. And so, you know, for us, creating a high, like a really high quality product that can be sipped and savored in a way, you know, we're really hoping that people can understand the value of investing more in a product like ours. However, the sort of biggest thing that we want people to take away when buying a bottle of Valor is to remember that 10% of our revenue is going back into this community work, whether it's the water infrastructure project we're doing in San Pedro de los Landeros, the work that we're doing around fair wages, opportunity for upward mobility with the jornaleros and farmers. You know, that's really why we're doing this. But also, you see 120 for our bottle, but it's also important to know that we don't see that 120. We see roughly 60% of that actually comes to us after retail fees, distributor fees, shipping fees, all of that. So it's really not a lot. So once we actually see the money, there's, you know, it's quite a big investment compared to what that $120 is. So we just hope that people support and understand. And we also know that investing in something like this can be a lot for people, and we respect that deeply. So but I just hope people know that where the money is going, it's incredibly intentional. And this idea that when you're buying a bottle of Valor, you are supporting a community, the community who is actually bringing this beautiful spirit to the world.
Now, yeah, and we Eric and I and many of us that have tried it, we vouch for that, and we hope to see everyone, you know, post that they're enjoying it and having it, and if they need samples, well, we have some too, so just let us know.
Yeah, that's one thing that we love doing is sharing it with everybody, and not only sharing, but, you know, informing everybody what, you know, what this bottle represents in its entirety.
Absolutely. And yes, we love when people post and tag us, because we just want to share, this is really a bottle for the people, not just for the people of Mexico, but everybody, right? Like this, we want people to feel like they're a part of community that, you know, is representative, like we're everybody's voice. And that's what we want people to feel like they're part of the La Familia.
I love it. Well, Christiana, thank you so much for coming on with us and having us be part of the mission for Valor. We are very happy and grateful to be part of it. And do you want to let us know where we could, you know, where people could contact you, where they could find Valor and all that good stuff?
Yes. Well, you guys, thank you. This, first of all, was so fun. Like, you two are amazing. And I've never done a podcast without video. And like, this is so much easier.
Remember, I told you that's why I can't talk in front of people. This is what I was saying Saturday. This is easy, but being in front of people, I cannot do it.
Don't take this the wrong way, but I'm like, oh, it's like talking, chatting with my girlfriends back in the 90s. Please don't take that the wrong way.
No. Not at all.
But yes. So at drinkmylord.com, you can buy directly there. At Drink My Lord, we are available in 42 states. And then we have our partners at Flask, which can fulfill the remaining states. And then eventually that's all going to be integrated where you can go to drinkmylord.com and it will be available to all 50 states and then also some other countries. We're about to be released in a couple of Total Wines and More here in Southern California. Nice. More coming on that. And then we have some new retailers coming online and we're working on some different on-premise locations too here in LA. So, but I would say the fastest and easiest way is just to go to drinkbylord.com and then to contact me. I'm Christiana at drinkbylord.com. You are welcome to email me with any questions or hola at drinkbylord.com if you forget my name. But yes, lots of ways to get a hold of us. And if you directly contact us through the email or through the website, we will respond to you usually within 24 hours.
That's awesome. Yeah. And the team is great. You know, I want to name them all, but man, Jeremy has been super cool, super awesome. Yeah. And I know he works his butt off to do everything great. And he's been awesome to work with.
Yes. Thank you for giving him that shout out. He is a dream to work with. And yes, it is a dream team. We are very lucky. And I feel very lucky every day to work with all of them. You guys, like, it's cool. It's like all the heads they win.
Yeah. Awesome. Christiana. Well, thank you so much again. And then we'll catch you at the next event, hopefully before LA Tequila Fest. But if not, we'll see you then.
Amazing. Eric Fonz, you guys are fantastic. And congratulations for doing this too. Like, it's no easy thing to do this on top of your full-time job. So congratulations for making this happen.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, bye.